Welcome back to Quiz 13, to Training in the Word at Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We're so excited to have you back with us, and I know the last class was such a blessing, dealing with the Abraham's quality of life and choices that you must make, decisions, sacrifices you must make. But in Quiz 13, I want to go back to page 120. Back to page 120, I want to bring you back some more information to fill in so we could have a complete description as well as do at Quiz 12 as we prepare to go to Quiz 14. But I want to take Quiz 13 back into page 120. I want you to pick up there and we're walk back into page 126. Here, we're talking about the culture of honor. We're also talking about the mindset as being Christians in the culture. Today, we want to continue to talk about the wealth mindset. Christianity must be balanced. And so many Christians are either one side or the other. Either they're more in their spirituality and broke, or there are some who may just have money and have no spirituality, or just a vague concept of God. But for you to walk in full maturity, having balance of spirituality and prosperity, it's important that we understand that the mindset in both dimensions has to be God as my source. It has to be God is my source. God is the source of all spiritual blessings, and he's the source of all financial blessings, material wealth. That has to be understood. That God loves you, and he wants you to be balanced in life. And it's your job and my job to equip ourselves with the knowledge of God's will and God's plan for our life. So as we embark on continuing understanding the power of us and understanding on page 120, understanding the concept of the mind concept of wealth, the wealth mind concept is vital. And we'll run across information to help enlighten us and illuminate us that we understand these concepts and why they are so important to bring balance in our foundation. In the last paragraph on page 120, there's a statement here that we want to begin with. It says, abundance, freedom, and choices are all ways to describe a condition of the soul that we must master, if we want a revival culture. I believe that was on your quiz that you're taking, quiz 11. That we have to understand that we must master the stewardship of wealth. Our stewardship is so important. That we understand money with a mission, money cometh. That we understand that the dimensions of money cometh. How to be a wealth commander. All of these things our apostle has trained and wrote books and taught us about. This information has to become you. It has to become you. Just not an ideal or just the concept of a trained mind of information, but it has to become a lifestyle. And by having these principles, allowing these principles to become your thought life, your way of life, calls you to become a commander of wealth, calls you to become a money magnet. So he's teaching us and sharing with us that these situations, abundance and freedom and choice, are all conditions. They are conditions of the soul that we must master. Because if you don't master it, there's a place where if the foundation is not settled, or you're not sound in your foundation of your belief core. We talked about the culture having a core set of beliefs. When your core beliefs are not solid and rooted that God is my source, and that all blessing flows from God, and that everything that I have, God gave it to me. Through willingness and obedience, God blessed me with it. Without that core belief system, we understand that it is the only way that we're going to develop a revival, a lifestyle of living in God's way of prosperity. It's the only way we're going to do it. God's way of prosperity. Every dime I have belongs to the Lord. And God asks for it, it belongs to Him. And that we are stewards of it, and we should freely release when God acts of us to give and to support the work. So that was in quiz 11. So I want to pick up there at question one. It said, the development and expansion of a wealth mindset is an essential key to it, to our successful introduction of heaven come into earth and having it remain on earth. It is important that we understand, number one, the development and expansion of a wealth mindset, the mindset, is an essential key to our successful introduction of heaven coming to earth and having it remain on earth. And having it remain on earth. In other words, he's also saying that our wealth should be generational. Our wealth should be continued to be in a succession. It consists from generation to generation. Why? Because we teach the wealth mindset. The wealth mindset. So every your seed, your sons and your daughters should continue to have wealth because they've been trained to have a wealth mindset. A wealth mindset. If we don't teach our children to think wealthy and expose them to wealth and to the best of everything, then they will live with a poverty-starved mindset. And it's the mindset that keeps you in the condition. It's the mindset that traps you in the condition. See, there is no shortage of money. There is no shortage of abundance of material blessings or material stuff. The shortage is always in the mindset. That the mindset that says, this is not for you. Or you're not the right color. You wasn't born rich. There's nobody in your house who's rich in your family. So with all those ideals and experiences around us, we develop the mindset that we're not supposed to have it. And so therefore, we wind up living without it. Without it. So when I train my children and training you to have a wealth mindset, at the best of everything belongs to you. It's God's will for you to have riches. It's God's will for you to be in divine health and live a long and satisfied life. Once you allow that truth to become your truth and live with the mindset, this is God's will for my life, and if I'm in shortage, I'm in lack, that's not the will of God. So that means I'm not in the right place. The right things are not happening right now. I need to make the shift of my confession, make the step of faith, the walk of faith, and put myself back in position to what God wants me to be and what God wants me to have. Very important. So wealth begins with the mindset. Very important. Number one, understanding that wealth begins with the mindset. So the development and expansion of a wealth mindset. The wealth mindset. Here's where knowledge is power. Here's where revelation knowledge is power. When I train myself to think wealthy, when I see myself wealthy, this is where I develop the concept to realize that poverty is not supposed to be my life. This is where it is. Once that develops, once that truth is in me, I can no longer be held back. Wealth, prosperity, increase is always moving in my direction. Opportunity for more than enough. Deuteronomy 8:17. That God says, say not in your heart that by my own power I have gotten this wealth. But it's God who give you power to get wealth. You see, that began to cause wealth to come, but it begins in the mindset. Because if you read further in that chapter, God said, after you done built the houses and you're an eight without scarcity, as you've done another, don't forget it. The Lord bless you. The Lord brought you here. And you turn to start serving the stuff and the things because your heart was not solid. Your heart was the foundation, your heart was not solid. That's God as my source. So the stuff will turn you when your heart is not right, when your heart is not solid, that God is my source. Let's go on. Number two, he says, the practice of wealth are exercised in abundance. The practices of wealth are exercised in abundance. See, God wants you to exercise and practice in wealth by having the best, wearing the best, eating the best. We are practicing the wealth abundance, the wealth of abundance. We're getting used to wearing our wearing and having more than enough. See, once we become comfortable with our wealth, an apostle shared that with me and a group of other people, that we have to become comfortable in our prosperity, comfortable having. That it's normal to have. It's abnormal not to have it. You see? And once you come into the concept that I'm supposed to have, that this is where I'm supposed to live every day, then it becomes the new normal for you. And so now money don't bother you. It doesn't move you because you have to pay $1,000 for this or $10,000 for that. It doesn't bother you. It's almost as normal for you to have wealth as it is for the poor man to have $1.50. See, that's normal to him because that's all he used to. So that's his normal. But when you come into a wealth mindset and God begin to bless you, that you begin to increase and prosper, then that becomes your new normal, that you're not moved because of the materialistic stuff. It doesn't move you. That's a normal way of life. I'm supposed to have it. You see? I'm supposed to wear it. So it becomes our new number. So God wants to increase you so you can exercise the abundance of your stewardship, or learning how to live the good life and understanding how to become a steward of his goodness, of his treasures in your life. Very important. That's number two. Number three, understand this. If we are to learn to steward the resources of heaven, we must first learn to practice a wealth mentality. He said the first learning exercise is not having the car or the $1 million or the $100,000 or even the $50,000, but learning how to have a wealth mindset, mentality, the wealth mentality, training yourself to see yourself as God sees you, to think of being wealthy, that it's my inheritance, it's my right to have it. And once you develop even those two key principles, you'll begin to see the transfer of money with purpose, money with a mission. You'll begin to see it. You begin no longer to just throw money in the wind, but you understand that money has to be respected. Money has to be respected. And wherever I give, or in the kingdom or in the culture, is called sowing. Wherever I sow money, I should expect a return on my giving, my sowing. See, even my buying is sowing. Well, how is that? Well, the manufacturer who manufactured the goods that I'm purchasing, it comes from somewhere, so he had to have an expense. So now I'm blessing him on his labor. I'm blessing him for his labor. And then I'm giving him increase because of the fact what I'm purchasing, he put the value price on it. It may not have cost him but $45 or $50 to make, but then he sell it to me for $400. You see? So I'm really sowing into him. So every time I sow, I'm expecting a return on my harvest. Every time I bless someone, I'm expecting a return on my harvest. Whenever I practice giving someone a tip, I'm sowing, so I'm benefiting somebody, I'm blessing somebody, and God says, when I do that, I can expect a return on the seed that I sow, the seed that is sown. So I have to understand that the first beginning, the lesson of learning, is developing a wealthy mindset. And you must exercise. You must exercise your way up the ladder to become, to develop a normal, to this become your new normal. Well, one of the ways you exercise is if you used to going to restaurants and you go to the restaurant and you tip your waiter $5, that's what you're normally doing, tipping them $5. Then raise it to 10. Raise it to $10. And see, what happened is you're now creating wealth muscles. Wealth muscles. And what happened is it's going to become the new normal to you. You know, and then you learn how to take the ticket. I mean, you four or five of you sitting at the table eating. You say, oh, no, we're not. The waiter always comes to the table and says, are y'all doing this on one ticket or y'all doing this on separate? You see, then you are determined because you're exercising. Oh, I got the ticket. I'm going to pay for all of it. What are you doing? You're exercising your wealth muscles. So you're developing a wealthy mindset. Well, you normally go pay, look for a sale for a pair of shoes or whatever. You learn to not look for the sale. What are you doing? I mean, if you don't do it but once a month or twice a month, you're developing wealthy muscles in your mindset, learning how to value and quality over quantity. You're developing your wealth muscles. Now when you start eating something, you think about the quality of the food you're eating and not about the quantity of the food you're eating. What's healthy and what's best for me? And what's best for you always costs a little more than what you're normally used to playing. You see, you're developing your muscles. And before you know it, over a protracted period of time, you're going to be the place where you're now spending $50,000 and $60,000 and $100,000 cash, you know, on what you want and walk out the store and owe nobody nothing. Going to the dealership, buying a car cash, and not even having a note. Not even worried about going in the boot. Amen. Tell a seller to come out here where you are and sign the papers. You're not going in the boot because he's not doing a credit check. Why? Because you're paying him cash. You're paying him by check, and it's done. It's over with. You see? There's no note behind it. So the blessing of the Lord make it rich, and it added increase. It added no sorrow to it, but it added increase. You see? So you have to understand, these are how you take steps to going up the ladder for wealth mentality, developing wealth mentality. In other words, too, in order to develop this, let's go to number four. Let's go to number four, then I'll come back to that, to this statement. On page 121, it said, wealth creates freedom. Wealth creates freedom. The first mistake so many believers make when someone mentions wealth is to equate it to riches. But the idea that money makes someone wealthy is like suggesting that holding a football make you an NFL quarterback. So here's number four. Riches or money are exterior condition. They're exterior, external conditions. It's on the outside. And wealth is an internal reality. The first place you must become rich is within, not from without. You see, a lot of people got cars, but they're not rich in their mindset. So any car would do. They're not looking for quality cars. They're looking for something to ride in. Why? Because of the mentality. The mentality, I don't want no car note. I'm not going to pay no $700 for no car note. You know, so it becomes the mentality of how people think that limits them or keep them limited when it's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. So he says here, number four, riches or money are exterior conditions. So that's a condition. And wealth is an internal reality. You got to have it from within. He says our inside will always manifest on our outside. You see, when you look at people's lives, it determines what they think. It reveals what they believe. It reveals what their limitations are. Just look at their lives. It reveals what they're thinking and what they believe and what they're exercising in. You see? As I say quite often, the idea is if you go to McDonald's, it need to be a choice. It need to be a choice. Not because I have to or I got to. You see? So that's the kind of mindset you got to get yourself in position that you have the freedom of choice. You have options. So wealth gives you options. It puts you in a position, you know, I can if I want to. If I don't, I don't have to. It's not an emergency in my life. But it's when you live in a mindset of lack and poverty, and you're always looking for the cheapest way out of everything, you don't develop your wealth mindset, and you stay stuck in always looking and living on that level. And you always keep complaining, that's too much. I'm not going to pay that kind of money for that. But if you're going to eat the best, wear the best, ride in the best, and living the best is going to cost you. And the first thing it costs you is training your mindset. It's training yourself to think wealthy. Thinking in terms of quality versus quantity. Quality versus quantity. You've got to develop that in your mindset and be willing to pay the price or the cost for better. It's going to start off a little bit slow for those of you who are not there, but as you continue to practice, you gain muscles and you begin to see yourself having better and living better. And before you know it, you're out of the box of poverty and lack because it starts with a mindset. Being broke is not a lack of money. Being broke is a lack of mentality. It's a mentality. Let's go on and let's pick this up. He said, for too many centuries, I like this in our next paragraph. He said, for too many centuries, a religious fallacy has tried to rule the minds of believers and convince them that riches are the root of all evil. And thus that the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are. Somehow being a poor, weak, uneducated, lowly Christian is something God is cheering on in heaven. He said, ha. Say, yeah. Like, yeah, right, okay. Yeah, just like you are cheering your kids on to be welfare dependents. High school dropouts. He said, I am fully aware that in more recent decades, the American church has swung to the other extreme in experimenting with a wealth gospel that has led many to pursue powerful Cadillacs and comfortable lifestyles rather than powerful lifestyles and the comforter. But a wealth mindset is not really about money or idolatry. It's about freedom. That's number five. A wealth mindset is not really about money or idolatry. It's about freedom. Developing a wealth mindset will bring you to a place of freedom, options, and choices. Very, very important. So he's saying to us, you know, the old paradigm of generations have taught us in a religious culture that being poor somehow make you more holy, make you more acceptable to God because you're poor. You know, the church that I come from, background, they used to pray the prayer, Lord, here's your poor, weak, and humble servant. You know, and I said back then, God don't hear that. Because God don't have no poor, weak, and humble servants. You know, it's good to be a humble servant, but being poor and weak, that's not even the will of God. Because the word of God said, let the weak say I'm strong, and let the poor say I'm rich. You know, instead of saying, God, here's your strong, rich, and humble servant. No, Lord, here's your poor, weak, and humble servant. But see, that's not the will of God. See, what it was, a mindset that was passed on from generation to generation. So we begin to confess our condition and made that a confession of faith, a statement of faith, a statement that this is the will of God. And so a lot of generations didn't break out because of their confession, because of their belief. So when you're training yourself to have a wealth mindset, you're really breaking generational traditions and also generational curses all for your life. Not only for you, but for your children's children. Because you would begin to cause a different paradigm shift that would begin to cause a new experience with God and cause new family values to start happening in your family and in your family line. So again, number five, we have to understand a wealth mindset is one, is not really about money and idolatry. It's about freedom, the power of choice. It gives us the power of choice. And that's what I was saying about the choice to go to McDonald's and eat versus by going to Ruth Chris or some other rich restaurant to go to, a wealthy restaurant to go to where things are more expensive. It's the power of choice. Not that I have to because of my external condition, my situation. Now, let's go back and continue with this. In at the last paragraph, it talked about God and Abraham. Understanding that we're the seeds of Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham. Also, in Christ Jesus. So the author talks about, to help define a wealth mindset, I want to present you with a journey that God led Abraham through. In this journey, Abraham started out as Abram and eventually became Abraham as God moved him through a process that brought out the full measure of God in intended greatness in Abraham's life. Now, that's number six, that you understand that the journey is a process. God sent Abraham through a process that brought him out and to the full purpose. So mark that in your writing, in your book, that number six is prosperity is a process. And we take it from the knowledge of what we just read. It's a process. May not happen to you overnight. May not happen to you in 6 months. May not happen to you in 6 years. It's a process of you having inward development, constant practicing, and discipline in your stewardship that bring you out of debt, bring you to the place where you're on top, because now you're going to deal with your affair and discretion according to integrity. You no longer slaying money, you know. First thing most people do when they get paid, go eat or go shopping. You see, they do not purpose that money to get out of debt, pay stuff off, save money, or sow seed into invest into the man of God or God's work to cause it to grow. To cause it to grow. You see, it's when we learn to invest, and when we learn to sow, it become money that may that my apostle says, he says that when you sow, it's not money gone, it's seed sown. It's when you learn to sow money that you have a return on it. The world uses a word called spending. And when you spend money, it's gone. But when you learn to circulate money, it's on its way back to you, bigger than it was when it left. The word sown is to sow it for a harvest. We invest it for a return. Invest it for a return. So it's a difference. You got to know in the process of coming to your wealthy place when to spend or when to circulate. I use the word spend. When to release money and when to sow money and when to circulate money. There comes an inner witness on the inside of you that reveals to you, okay, it's okay to go get that. It's okay to purchase that. It comes. And you are another inward witness. Excuse me. What that does is it keeps us out of the place of covetousness and greed. When we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us in our spending, it keeps us out of the realm of covetousness and greed. See, you, just because you have the money, don't mean you just go out there and start buying stuff. You need to be able to know the timing of God and the leading of the Spirit of God, where God leads you out to go purchase, to circulate, to bless people. You see, when you go up under that leading, up under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know the principle is going to work for you. We're going to have a return. You're going to have a return on your seed that you sown or you purchased. Okay? So keeping that focus, that was number six. Let's go on from there. A process that brought out to the full measure of God intended greatness in Abram's life. When he began this process, look what it says. When he began this process, Abram was already a rich man. How about that? God didn't call a poor man. He already started Abraham already on his rich level. So if Abraham was rich already, then how can God show him his goodness when he already got it? I mean, I'm already rich. So that means that God was getting ready to take him to another level in his mindset, which was also going to increase his wealth area. He already had servants. He already had cattle and all those type of things. And he already had money. He is already a businessman. But he didn't have revelation of who God was and what God can do for him. See, it's one thing to get it on the world system, and another thing to get it on God's system. That's the difference. See, there's a system in the world you can get rich off of. But it does not mean it has the blessings of God. It does not have God's presence. It doesn't have God's favor. It doesn't have God's anointing on it. You're just rich without the mind of God. You can develop a wealthy mindset in the world system without God. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or lose his spirit? What did it cost? You see? So we want the full balance in our life. Not to be just on the material side alone or just on the spiritual side alone, but being in the middle of balance, I have the spiritual and the financial or the materialistic. I'm balanced, I'm grounded, I'm rooted, and what rules over my material is my spiritual walk with God, my relationship with God. That has to be solid. That has to be sound. You see, because what God getting ready to reveal to Abraham, if Abraham wasn't open, man, he would have told God, no, why I need to do that? Why I need to do that? Abraham was getting ready to experience a new level of lifestyle he wasn't used to, because he's getting ready to walk with God in the supernatural, as well as using the natural to another dimension. Look what happened. He had many possessions, as much land, and was faithful in stewarding his wealth. He was a businessman. He was wealthy. He had that. Then he says he was a man whose outside already matched his inside. He was already there. But in order for God to take him to the next level, he introduced a powerful set of instructions and steps that expanded Abraham on the inside. What happened is, you max out in the natural realm because you'd have maxed out in the inner side. See, you'd got to the fullest blessings or the full materialistic success you can go to because of the level on the inside of you. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, discipline, obedience. But when you continue to grow on the inside of feeding your faith, the Word of God, and practicing the Word of God daily in your life, the larger you begin to expand on the inside, it continues to cause your outside expansion, where there is no limits. There are no limits to what God can do for you and what God wants you to have. You can continue to grow and expand and increase. So that was very important that Abraham was being introduced a powerful set of instructions and steps that expanded Abraham on the inside. That's number seven. So mark that and be careful and get that understanding that you must be introduced to a powerful set of instructions that's and steps that expand Abraham on the inside, or you can put your name there that expands you on the inside. He says, in presenting Abraham's journey, I want to challenge you to embrace this same process in your life. This is the process that allows us to confront our own mindsets and the limitations we bring with us into our relationship with heaven. Now, that's number eight. That's number eight, that you must allow the process to confront our own mindsets and our own limitations, so it can bring us into our relationship with heaven. See, you have to identify where you are weak at, where you're weak, where your shortcomings are, where you're not strong. Apostle talks about he glory in his infirmity, his weaknesses. It's because he knows he has those weaknesses. It makes him lean more on God. He's dependent on God because he realized, I didn't bring myself here. There's no way in my own education, in my own ability, I could have come here to live the place where he's living. And that's what you have to understand, that you have to allow the process to make you, to bring that wealth mindset, to bring you to a place of being a person who's now a distribution center for the glory of God. You have to allow the process to bring you there. Don't make it happen. Just flow in the process. Be obedient to the process. And the process will bring you to your wealthy place, your place of prominence, your place of influence. An impact will come when you allow the process to bring you there. See, you don't know who God, when you sow and you're giving and you're sowing, like Abraham did, sowed into Melchizedek, he paid his tithes. You don't know who God is talking to. You don't know what door God is going to open for you to cause the favor to hit your life. You don't know. So you got to begin to walk faithfully in the process. Allow God to begin to speak and open doors of opportunity, favor, and advantage for you. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. When you're willing and obedient, he said, I will cause you to eat the good of the land. When you walk in this dimension. Okay, let's prepare to close here at number eight. As we see him saying to us, the process will bring us into our relationship with heaven. He says, we limit our life in God so easily and so often because we do not see that which hinders us. Wow. We can make that number nine. Number stop at eight, but make that number nine. That we limit our life in God so easily and so often because we do not see that which hinders us. Our fears, our unbelief, our undeveloped practices, our behaviors, all those things become limitations. When we don't address them and look in the mirror and see ourselves and realize that we become angry when people try to tell us the truth. When people identify the error of what we're doing, trying to help us develop a new trend of behavior practices, we become angry. Because you try to tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can't have. You're always trying to put me down. You're always trying to make me look small and all those kind of things. No, a person who has your best interest, who's trying to stretch you and push you to the next level, always going to make you mad. Why? Because they are breaking the norm on the inside of you. They are challenging the limitations on the inside of you. So you have to get ready for the next level. Get ready for the next level. God is about to take you through a process that's going to break you in order to mature you to bring you to heaven way of thinking. Heaven way of thinking. And again, I close with that as a meditation scripture, Matthew 6:33. That God said, but Jesus says these words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My friend, until our next lesson, amen, continue to let God bring you through the process. God bless you. See you then.